Jesus.
No.
Just about. I think there's a couple people missing.
Patrick is missing.
Is that right? There's one of them. There's another one. Is there anybody missing? We'll wait. Yeah. He's worth waiting for. Has anybody but me noticed today during this that there's an overall, I don't know if I want to just say theme, there's an overall like message in everything that's being said and done? Have you noticed? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like humility, like love, like Jesus, like giving God His way,
yeah.
Like taking our hands off, like others-mindedness. I mean, has anybody picked up any of this stuff? I'm just hearing it and feeling it and seeing it and everything, and it's like, Lord, until God brought us into this, we didn't even know anything about this. When I started reading the Bible 33 years ago, I thought, this is so cool. I'd sure like to see this. And then when I got in church, they told me that's what it was, and I kept reading it and looking at them and reading it and looking at them, but they don't seem to match up. Now, one thing that we need to not do, we need to be careful as God, what we're going to talk about is a relationship church. This is my favorite thing to talk about. What? What?
God. Anything to do with God is your
favorite. I know. It's my favorite because this is what I'm talking about now. That's. It's like, do you know what my favorite meal is? Whatever I'm eating. Because if your favorite meal is something else, then you're disappointed. So why not enjoy whatever it is you're eating? Make it your favorite meal. I mean, I'm real simple to please. If my wife cooks hot dogs, that is my favorite meal. Baptist tube steak. I love it. You know, if it's macaroni and cheese, that is my favorite meal. Right, Zach? Mac and cheese. Right, Adam? That's my favorite.
Right, dude.
Right, dude. Thank you, dude. All right. I've been dude today.
You've been a hungry dude.
Okay, that's right, dude. Rounds of shape. Okay. I'm in shape. Took a while to get like this. And I have to eat a lot to keep like this.
Don't want to get too fat.
That's right. Not too fat. Not too skinny.
You'll lose your blood.
That's right. Lose my blood. Whatever that means. Thank you, Jesus. I need revelation, Lord. Okay. Say what?
Not too much sweets.
Not too much sweets. Nope, I'll leave that up to you. Okay. Let's see. Hot chocolate, 5 spoons of sugar, heaping. No wonder the dude's bounced off the walls, you know? If you saw what he consumed, you would understand. Okay, we're going to have a word of prayer. And we'll just go like this. Jesus, thank you. You've outdone yourself again. You're incredible. So, Lord, we just want to finish up with you. And we want to wait on you because you're worth waiting for. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. If right this minute, you could experience being on the lap of Almighty God, would you like to experience that?
Yes.
Can I just, God bless you on purpose. Can I just share a little story? We have 6 kids and 18, 20 grandkids, whatever. There's a bunch of them. And this young man comes to me and says he wants to marry one of my daughters. And I looked at him, and of course I wanted to third degree him like I did the rest of them. But the Lord, I'm trying to be spirit-led, you know, even those guys wanting to marry my daughter. What's he thinking? And so I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say to him? I'm just being honest. Anyway, I'm trying to be nice. Okay, so anyway, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to him? And he said, ask him, do you think you would fit in our church? And he said, well, yeah, I go to a church where they speak in tongues and believe in healing and stuff. And I said, he said, just like yours. And I said, no, what you go to is not like ours. He said, what do you mean? I said, okay, Lord, how am I going to explain this to him? What do you want me to say? And God said, bring him up on my lap. So I said, do you want to know what the difference is? I said, because we're a relationship church. And he said, yeah. He said, I go to a spirit-filled church and all that. I go, mm-hmm. I said, do you want to know what the difference is? He goes, yeah. I said, okay. God just told me to take you in a vision up on his lap. Can I take you? I just said, could I take you into a vision? He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, he kind of, well, yeah, you know. Thinking, I'm sure that, you know, he's going to be hooping and hollering or whatever. And so I took him up on the lap of the Father. And I told him, I said, if we do this, I said, you're going to get ruined. I said, you see, my daughter has already been ruined for this world. She's addicted to Jesus. I said, we can't go back. I said, we have already gone into a place in God where we can't go back to religion. We can't go back to what you think is the same. Because you don't know where we are. And we can't go back. Because we know Father in a way you don't know. I'm thinking this. I didn't say all that because God just said to say, would you like to come up on, take him into a vision? So I said, close your eyes. And then I took him into a vision. I just said the words. God did the work. I can't take you into a vision. I mean, I can just say words. When I was done speaking, he just sat there for a while and he goes, whoa. He said, now I know what you mean. He said, I've never been to a church like this. I said, see, my daughter couldn't go to your church. I said, and not everybody's designed to come to our church. And if you didn't fit at our church, then y'all wouldn't be a match because how can two walk together except they'd be agreed? And I said, and she ain't going back, I can tell you that. Because once you've tasted this, you can't go back. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he just gets gooder. The more you get of him, the gooder he gets. So, I don't just want to talk to you and take you into a vision of going up onto the lap of the Father. I do want to do that, but I want you to understand this is where He wants us to live. John 15, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. We're supposed to be vitally attached to Him, like our life depends on it. You can go to many churches and not be vitally attached. You could be on their ministry. You could be polished. You could know all the right words. You could put together alliterated sermons. You could have nice disposition, nice attitude, a smile on your face, know where the scriptures are, say all the right things at all the right times, follow your cues. But there's no life in it. What I'm talking to you about is Jesus is the vine. He's the one who's planted. He's the one who life is flowing through. He is life. Right? The branches. We are grafted in. In order, what happens if we become disconnected from the vine? We wither, we die. And the Bible says there in John 15, we might as well be thrown in the fire. There's no life. There's no green. There's no fruit. We're vitally connected. As we abide, remain, dwell, live, lean on Him. His life flows into us. You can tell people that are vitally connected to the vine. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. People that are vitally connected to the vine, you get around people and they got the life of God in them. You see, when there's life, there's green. That's how you can tell if a branch is really connected to the trunk, because you can look at some trees and you'll see this whole branch is brown and it's withered and it's all crackly. You touch the leaves and they crackle. And I was looking for a real plant. I don't guess we have one. But you know what I'm talking about. They're crackly, you know, and they fall apart. But the living ones, they're pliable. There's life in them. But when you find somebody that's vitally connected to Jesus, they're pliable. They're green. They're alive. Do you know what green, does in a plant? Green produces photosynthesis. Do you know what photosynthesis is? It's something that you need every second, because photosynthesis produces oxygen. Have you ever got around somebody that's a breath of fresh air? They're vitally connected to Jesus. As they're vitally connected with Jesus, not only are they alive, not only are they a breath of fresh air, but guess what else? They produce fruit. Fruit is different than results. Man can produce results. We had so many, we took up so much money, you know, we did this project. There's no life in any of that. Man produced results. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the one who produces fruit. Fruit is living. Fruit feeds people. Fruit has seed in it, and it reproduces itself. Fruit is different than results. You can have results. You can get people all excited. You can get people pepped up, revved up. But where's the fruit? Because fruit is living. Fruit continues to live. fruit ministers to other people's needs. It feeds them. And fruit has seed in it. It doesn't just do something and then die. It has seed in it. And so therefore, it reproduces itself. Sound like we need God to have fruit? John 15, I think it's 1 through 7, 1 through 8. I dare you to open that up. He talks about fruit in there. He talks about fruit. He talks about much fruit. He talks about more fruit. And then when you get down to about verse 16, he talks about fruit that remains. Right now, I feel like what Father would like is for you to come up on His lap. So I'm just going to walk you through a vision that He took me through a number of years ago. We had gone to a church in Flint, and we had gone through a lot of hard things. That church where the pastor ended up in prison and a whole lot of things, and then another church after that, and we were like really hurting. And so we went back to our original home church where we had started a couple of churches out of and told them things that were happening. And they literally put us on a skewer and roasted us. They literally took us apart. They told us we must have sin in our lives and da-da-da-da-da. And we were begging God. We were trying to follow God. And we knew we did what God wanted because it wasn't what we wanted. It was giving Him what He wanted. And these people just took us apart. And they were had been our pastors, our leaders. And two different ones. And one had been down in Texas and one had in Michigan. And here they were at the same church at that same night because we called them and they both happened to be there. And we went to meet with them and they literally just accused us of all kinds of stuff and said we needed to repent and come back and grovel at their feet and ask their forgiveness. And because we followed God, but it wasn't within their understanding because it colored outside their understanding, outside their lines, and outside their control. And they didn't understand that. So we were hurting. So God put us in a church over in Flint and ended up hooking us up with Toronto. And people kept talking about the Father's blessing, the love of the Father. And I was really not a happy camper. I wouldn't really like you to check out that video, okay, when you get to heaven. But you probably will, and you'll see why I love Jesus so much. Because we were so hurting that I'm used to being the guy that when they ask for testimonies, they used to say, Harvey, yours are limited to 3 5-minute each. You know, because I was so full of God, I couldn't quit talking about Him. And I'd stand up. They were like, Harvey, we wanted others to have a chance. And I'm like, well, let them jump in anytime they want, you know. Nobody can interrupt you, Harvey. That's the point. Okay, you know, it's like, well, then sit down. Okay. Can I get up again? You know. So we were so hurting. We'd go into this church and they're talking about the Father's love. And all these people, lovey-dovey, Father loves us. It's all wonderful. God's so wonderful. And we had just gone through this stuff that, I'm going to tell you what, I would not wish on the devil what we went through. It was that bad. But I wouldn't take $1 million for it now because of what, how it helped us to get closer to God. So I stood up and I said, I don't want to be here, you know, because they were all happy and I wasn't. And they were weird because the preacher would pray for them and they would fall down. And I thought he was going around pushing everybody down. And it made me mad because I was a Baptist and we didn't do that. We didn't push anybody down. We're here to get them to Jesus. What do you push them down for? And they all smiling about it, you know. And we didn't like it. And it colored outside my lines. And I stood up and said, I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. I don't like you people. I think you're weird. God won't let me go anywhere. I've tried to go to another church, and he told me I have to come back here with you weird people. And I don't want to be here. That's how I stood up. I'm being nice. I stood up, and that was my testimony. And a year later, people told me that they would have to, that God told them they had to pray 30 feet away from me for months because I was so damaged. I couldn't stand people getting anywhere near me to even pray for me, and yet I needed it. Well, I'm seeing all these people going forward and getting healing, you know, praying for them, and they're standing up saying, I've had all these problems all these years. I've got all these psychiatrists, you know, psychos. And I've gone to all these people, and I went to Toronto, or our pastor laid hands on me, and as I lay on the floor, which I was mad that they were laying on the floor with a smile on their face, and they're laying on the floor, and I got up, and I saw Jesus, and he came and loved me, and I got all this healing, and I just love God. And I was like, oh, that made me so mad. So mad because I couldn't find him, and I was used to him being right here, like, you know what I mean? We'd been like best buddies for like the longest time. And it just upset me. And finally I let him start praying for me. Of course, I stood like this and dared him to push me down. Anyway, we went through all that stuff. And God started bringing me into all this healing. It took a long time. Because it was way outside my understanding. And I didn't know there was over 50 places in the Bible where people came in the contact in the presence of God and they fell down. And he wouldn't let me find one of them until I finally said, okay, I know this is you. Because he kept Velcroing me to the floor, and I couldn't get up, even with the help of four big men. I couldn't get off the floor. And I didn't want to be there. And I would be yelling at him while I'm on the floor while he's healing me. So, God brings us back to Grand Rapids and says, after we'd got a lot of healing, and says, I want you to bring people into the river move. I want you to bring people into the love of the Father. Well, you see, I met Jesus in 76. I met the Holy Spirit in 83. But in 95, I started meeting the Father. I met him, but it was like this ongoing relationship thing. And one day we're doing church out on 92nd Street. And God shows up and takes me into a vision. And I don't have visions all the time. My wife has visions all the time. I don't have visions all the time. And here's the vision. Because I'm going to take you up on the lap of the Father. But this isn't for you to have an experience. That you'll have an experience. This is to teach you. This is for you to understand. Where the Father wants you to live. How he sees you. How he feels about you. How he thinks toward you. Where you could live, it's way beyond. I'm just telling you. This isn't a one time you do it and you go tell everybody for the next 3 years about what happened tonight. This is one of those, you experience him and you go, wow. And he's like, would you like to live here? Are you kidding? You can live here. And I'm like, yes. And there was about two and a quarter years where I lived there. It was so tangible. I literally, physically felt his body, my body on his body, like I'm on his lap, like the lap of a grandfather. with his arms around me, with his beard brushing against the back of my head, his breath on the back of my neck. So literally, I went around, my cheeks hurt for 2.25 years because I was smiling so much I couldn't quit smiling. And people come up to me on the street and say, what are you smiling for? They say, you want to know? And I would just take them up to the lap of the Father and they're right there on the sidewalk. I don't know who they are. I don't know if they know Jesus. I just take them up to the lap of the Father. I want to talk to you about Relationship Church because I want you to know Him. You met Jesus. You know the Holy Spirit. But for me, I knew of the Father. But see, I didn't have a good dad relationship. So I didn't have needs met that I needed. I didn't know that. I just tried to toughen up, be a man, da-da-da-da-da, you know, work hard, you know, be tough, all that stuff. So, let's go up on the lap of the Father. You ready? I want you to picture yourself. First of all, I want you to picture Father. Now, he kind of looks like Santa Claus. Have you ever seen a picture of Santa Claus when he wasn't in a suit? And he's sitting in an overstuffed easy chair. He's got a white beard. It's not long. It's kind of like mine, but white. But he's got a full head of hair. His isn't taken loose yet. And he's got these fat, rosy cheeks. He's wearing like bib overalls and a shirt. You know, a button-up shirt, and he's got these fat, rosy cheeks, and he's got a gleam in his eye, and the reason is because he's looking at you. And I want you to picture you when you were like a little kid. Think back to a picture, a photograph of when you saw that picture of yourself and thought you were cute. You know, when you liked yourself. You know, back when you liked yourself. And I want you to picture yourself as a little child. And Father holds his hands out to you. Now, there's no words, but he's holding his hands out to you because, see, you are the delight of his heart and the desire of his soul. He made you in his very image. And his whole creation was to have a relationship, sweet, intimate fellowship with you. And I want you to picture that he has his hands out right now, extended to you. And you put up your little arms, and Father reaches down and picks you up. Now, while he's pulling you to himself, he kind of tickles you a little bit. Not enough to be aggravating, just enough to be playful. And then he puts you on his lap, and he wraps his arms around you. You feel his arms around you? Because he's drawn you with bands of love. He's got this everlasting love for you. And his arms are around you. And you're leaning back into his breast. You're on his lap. And you're feeling so loved and accepted. And you feel his beard on the back of your head. And you feel his breath on the back of your neck. And you're just leaning back into him. And as you're staying here for such a long time, leaning back as he's holding you and not letting you go, and you're leaning back into the breast of the Father, you begin to feel his heartbeat. Because you've stayed there so long, you're beginning to feel his heartbeat. Now, for me, I was afraid to move because I was afraid it would stop. And so I sat perfectly still. And after sitting there for a long time, like an hour or two, because I had known Jesus and met the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know it could get better than that. because I didn't understand God as a father, so I wasn't getting everything that God wanted to give me. But now I'm receiving love and acceptance, and I'm not doing anything. I had been taught I needed to perform to get his love and acceptance. As I'm leaning back into his breast, and I'm there for such a long time, out of the corner of my eye, I notice there's a door, because I'm in Father's, you know, private room, and you are too, and I noticed there was a door in front of me, and it was kind of ajar, and you could see people on the other side of the door, kind of like a hallway, going back and forth. You saw people, some going this way and some going that way. And without any words being spoken, I realized that they were people that were in church, that were religious, that were busy for God. And I had always been the most busy for God anywhere I ever went. So I kind of sat up, got up off his chest, but still on his lap, and I kind of turned around and looked back at him and said, I guess I need to get down and go do something, don't I? And Father said to me something I'll never forget. He said, Harvey, you never have to get down off my lap again. You could live here. He says, as a matter of fact, he said, I want to carry you right up next to my heart for the rest of your life. That's what would delight me. That's what I designed you for. I have a spot right here where I'd like to carry you. And then he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, Harvey, there is nothing you could do that would make me love you anymore. And then he said, and there's absolutely nothing you could do that would make me love you any less. Because I love you for who you are, not what you do. I love you for who you are. I love you 100% right now. And whether you ever did anything for me again, I love you 100%. I couldn't love you any more than I do. You are completely accepted and loved. And I knew it. Do you know it? Father, I am asking you, I felt like told me to do this. I am looking forward to what you're going to do in the lives of each person in this room. And I pray that you would just reveal yourself more as Abba Father, Daddy God, and overwhelmingly meet the longest, longing, and deepest needs that each one in this room has that can only be met by you. Thank you, Jesus.
Now time for a little music.
You know what? Why don't you give me a hug? I think I need a hug. Is that how you hug? No, you gotta put arms around me, guy. I need a two-armed hug. There you go. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Be careful, man. Don't want to hurt my neck.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt your neck. Turn to Matthew 22, verse 34, please. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Are you there? Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, now picture this. Here comes a lawyer. To Jesus, what is the great commandment in the law? You see, I think the Jews had 613 laws that they had made out of the Bible. You know, anything that flesh touches, they corrupt. Okay? And they, this lawyer says to him, what's a great commandment? And Jesus said, well, because you're so smart, let me put the cookies down on the bottom shelf for you, Mr. Lawyer. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he makes this very interesting statement where he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. In other words, the whole Old Testament, which they knew, Torah, the whole Old Testament, the whole scriptures that they understood at that time, that they had written down, Jesus said it could all be summed up in two. And you know what they were? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And out of that, because you can't give what you haven't received. So as you get the love from the Father, then love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, if he hadn't said, as you love yourself, then God would use people. But God doesn't use people. You see, God, if he asks you to do something, like when God tells me, he told me one time to give a car to somebody. I couldn't have given a car if I didn't have one. So God has to give you something for you to give it away. So if you're going to love somebody, one time Sue was, I think it was before she became a butterfly. You know, she's going through the change of life or something. She was still in the cocoon or something. And I was having a hard time knowing what to do with her. You know, when that preacher said, say I do, he should have said, say I'm done, because it's all over, buddy. And I didn't know what to do with her. I was praying for her. I was washing dishes. I was cleaning. I was buying her stuff. I was giving her money and ass, begging her to go buy some. What? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with you. Change. Do something. Just quick. Just, I can't handle this. Yeah, of course not, man. You weren't being afflicted by it. And so I prayed because I was desperate. And I prayed. I thought I had already prayed, but I hadn't prayed like I prayed this time. And I said, oh God, I can't handle this. And God said, is your love enough for her need? I said, I'm loving her. He said, is it enough? I said, it doesn't seem to be. He said, do you think mine is? I said, yeah, but how do I get that? You know what he said? Make a choice to quit operating in your love and admit it's too shallow for her need. And then ask me to come fill you up with my love and see what happens. See, God's way is always a way of humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So I said, oh, God, you know, and I'm crying, you know. And I said, Lord, my love is too shallow for her need, and I am not going to try to love her anymore because it's not helping. It is too shallow. But Lord, yours isn't. Would you come fill me with your love? Because she has a need. I mean, like that, she changed. Became a butterfly, beautiful butterfly, you know, and have heard this week. And incredible. Not me. Him. In one who realized, it can't be me. I don't have. And you know what? Ministers, you don't have what they need. Jesus says, love one another. You can't do that. He's always telling us stuff to do that we can't do. He is. When he said he was a troublemaker, he wasn't lying or nothing. He was telling the truth. Because what God is about is relationship. God doesn't want us to live by formula. We get it all figured out. Here's our little outline of how to get God to come show up at the meeting. So we run through our little outline and then he doesn't show up. Or here's our little outline about how to lead them to the Lord. And we do that. And you can't find them with the FBI. They have no desire to go to church. No desire to read the Bible. No desire to get baptized. They weren't born again. Because the ones that are, man, they're like starving little... I call them HLBs. Hungry little birds for Jesus. Some of you are in my phone as an HLB. Because I got a whole list of HLBs in my phone. God wants us. Come here a second. Father God, sit right here. Father God wants us to learn to live on His lap. God wants us to learn to depend on Him.
Stop it, man.
He's just jealous. And Father wants us to learn to depend on Him.
He's not that heavy, actually.
He wants us to learn to depend on Him. Moment by moment. Years ago, there was a song called Fire and Rain. I think his name was Jim Croce, and he sang James Taylor. That's right. I couldn't remember. I just couldn't. So Jim Croce is the only name I could remember, you know. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching, and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. He brings that to me one day, and he says, Harv, because I said, I want to depend on you more. I need you more. Every time I depend on you, you show up in such an awesome way, but I need you more. He said, well, then let me give you another verse that James Taylor didn't write. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another hour. My body's aching and my time is at hand, and I won't make it without your power. I said, oh, that's good. I said, but Lord, I think I need you more often than every hour. He said, then let me give you another verse. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another minute. My body's aching and my time is at hand, and I won't make it unless you are in it. Amen. You see, God is wanting us to learn to depend on Him. Moment by moment. The reason people have to come back to God is because they left Him. Isn't there a clue there? Aren't we supposed to stay with Him? Then why do we have to come back to Him? It's because we haven't learned to live on His lap. It's because maybe we're finding some of our needs met outside of Him and we're not desperate enough. That guy on the wall over there, he and Glenn and probably Roxanne and several others in this church, their testimony basically is, when they met me, they didn't like me. And if this was the last church on earth, they didn't want to come here. As a matter of fact, he had visited our last church and decided that he wasn't ever going to go to a church where I was anymore. So somebody tricked him into coming to this church, and he walked in, and everything was fine until he saw me. And he had to deal with God and said, okay, I'll be polite and I'll stay here, but I don't like him and I'm not coming back. That service, I didn't know all this, because he smiled like everybody always does, you know. Yeah, Cheshire Cat. And that service, I got up and I said, all he remembers me saying that service was, you know, I'm not hungry for God. I'm desperate. And when I said that, the Holy Spirit said, this is who you've been praying for. Because he was saying, God, when I go to these other churches, they're too shallow for my need. And he says, isn't there somebody that just will get me into your presence and somebody that's desperate for you? I tell people when they come, you don't have to like me. I'm okay if you don't like me. It's okay. I'm liked by God. I don't need your liking. It feels better if I do. It's easier than all the looks I have to deal with. But you know what? And attitudes. But you know what? I just want to get you to Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you're going to love me because Jesus is inside of me. And there's people that don't love Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with me. That's okay. Because it's him they're rejecting. Minister, it's not you. You represent God. And their arms are too short to box with God. So they're going to take it out on you. Of course, they're going to try to say it's you. But the Holy Spirit, if you can listen, will let you know it's not you. But when you get your acceptance from the Father, you don't need it from people. I'm sorry, but everybody you'll probably ever meet, almost everybody you'll probably ever meet, including you, has a cutoff point with people. God, that one of the neatest things I like about him is he doesn't have a cutoff point. He never quits. Charity never faileth. Relationship church. The three things. When we started this church, you see, the last several churches we've started have all been against my will. But you see, he thinks he's God and gets to do what he wants. And I find when I give him his way, my life goes smoother. But for some reason, I always seem to be in a wrestling match with him. When we're going to start a church, so we were in a wrestling match and on this church. And he wanted to start it 4 years ago. And so finally he pins me, and so we're going to start a church, and against my will, of course, but I'm going to give him his way because he's God. And a few weeks into it, he says to me, do you know what kind of church this is? I said, to be honest, I've never seen anything like it. He said, it's called a relationship church. I said, really? Like, so what does that mean? You know? He says, Matthew 22:34-40. So I turn over there and he said, this is your church passage. You know how you have like a life's verse? Well, this is our church verse. Okay? He said, here's what I want you to do, Harv. I want you to bring people, help them to understand they need to have a relationship with me. Intimate, personal, get to know the real me. Because what they've known so far, most of them have been exposed to what I would call the religious God. But they don't know the real God yet. So first, help them to get to know the real me. And then, as they get to know the real me, would you step here, Dad? Yeah. as they get to know the real me, okay, you ready? You get to know the real Father. What happens is, as you're hanging out with him, here, I need to have you stand up so I can visualize it with him. Okay? Do me a favor, okay? You put your little patties on his cheek, and you look in his eyes, and you find out how he loves you, and how he believes in you, and how he sees, thinks, and feels about you. And when you start believing what he says about you, and start breaking agreement with what the enemy and everybody else has said about you, you're going to get loved and accepted, and you're going to get so healed and so accepted that you could go out, and whenever they go to hurt you or something, you just, you don't even have to go back. You're like right there, and you just lean. You just lean, and he manifests himself as the comforter. And he holds you, and he hugs you. And it's like, I don't even know how to tell you, but there just ain't nothing like it. And you just hang out with him. So you get to know the real God. And then you, as you get to know the real God, you're going to find out how he sees things and feels about you. And I'm just telling you, you're going to find out who you are, how he thinks you are. Remember, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you say that I am? Well, guess what the Father says about me? Do you remember? And when you start learning to love and accept yourself. I'm not talking about pride and ego and that. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm not talking about self-love. I'm talking about agape, selfless love, godly love. When you start learning to love and accept yourself because you've been receiving it from the Father, we couldn't get it all from our parents because they were hurting. And hurting people can't help but hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the hospital, do you expect the patients to help you?
No.
Well, then why are you trying to get your help from people? Doesn't Psalm 62:5 say, this is a key verse, by the way, you need to memorize this. And if you need to, I don't believe in tattoos, but if you need to, tattoo it on you. Because you need to get this. Psalm 62:5. Do not miss this verse. My soul, hope thou only in God. Now watch, for my expectation is in him. We teach our people, if you put any expectation in us, we promise we'll let you down. Because I let myself down. You have to put all your expectation in God. Do you know that God, you can't disappoint God? Did you know that? Now watch this. This is going to mess with you. But this will set you free if you get it. You cannot disappoint God. Do you know why? But you think you do. I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. I can see it on your faces. And if I couldn't, I know you do. Are you ready? You can't disappoint God. You know why? Get this. He has no expectation in you, Jim. He only has desire. Only has desire, no expectation. What's the difference? Ask my wife to have to explain that. I don't know how to do it. All I know is when I say it, I get it, but I don't know how to put it. I don't know. I thought it was on the bottom shelf. I don't know. Let me work on that. I'll figure that one out. I don't know. I've never had anybody ask me what the difference. Okay. Expectation. I expect you to do something, and if you don't do it, you disappoint me. Right. I have a desire for you to do something. If you don't do it, it's okay. You didn't fail. I'm not mad at you. I'm not disappointed. But if I have expectancy in you, then I get mad or disappointed because you didn't live up to my expectancy. You put all your expectancy in God. He's the only one who can't let you down.
That's right.
I think he's the only one who can lift you up.
There you
Psalm 62:5. Get it. It will help you. So you get to know the real God. You find out how He sees, thinks, and feels about you, and you start believing that. Guess what happens? When you get healed, guess what you do? Now when you go out, because you've got acceptance and love, guess what you have to give away? Before that, guilt, burden, manipulation, pressure. Oh, I'm disappointing somebody. I got to do something. They gave you the look. You're disappointing them. See what I'm saying? Look, they gave you the look. So now I'm disappointing them. Okay, what do I got to do? I got to want to please them. Because they had expectation. When you don't have expectation, okay, and you've got acceptance, when you go out, you're not given the look. You're not putting guilt and burden and pressure and manipulation on people. You have desire. I have desire for you, but you couldn't fail me. I'm talking about you as ministers. You can't fail me. You can't disappoint me. Whether you go home and never do anything with what we talked about this weekend, I don't have expectation in you. I have expectation in God. I have desire for you. We're just doing this because God said to do it. I don't even know most of you. Well, I mean, I don't, you know all of you. I just met you. I just was hearing from Brother Bill, there's all these people want to start churches, and people were calling us and saying, different ones from around the state, and saying, we're needing to start a church, or we're trying to, and we need help, and we want it to be relationship church, because we've gone and shared that with them, and we want that. But we don't know how to do it. Would you help us? And I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I got a full-time job. I've already got, and then whatever's going on here, and I mean, Glenn, he's a full-time job, just Glenn, you know? Do you follow what I'm saying? And I'm going, Lord, what do we do? And then when Brother Bill came and said, there's about, he thought there was about 7 churches at the time that wanted to get started. And I went, oh, Lord, what do you want us to do? Because my heart is like, I want to go help every one of you, and I don't know how to do it. And even if I went there, I don't know how to do it. Because I just do what he tells me to do. We're not like super smart or something. We're just people that want to give him, see the sign over the door? Father, we want to give you everything you want. That's what we want. I think he's worth spoiling. So, whatever you do, I'm thrilled with. I'm thrilled that you're here. The people, everybody that was leaving, they were all coming to me going, brother, I have to leave. Brother, I'm sorry. You know, we got to leave. You know, but I love you, and I love your messages. But brother, we got to. Now, why were they all acting like that? Because other people have been disappointed. Other people had expectation. Other people put guilt and burden and pressure and manipulation on them. You understand? Control. All those are manifestations of a religious spirit.
That's right.
And every one of them, I was like, I'm just so glad you're here. Please be safe. Please let me bless you as you're leaving. Oh, thank you just for honoring us with your presence. Do you understand? We had to go through a lot to understand this, because we've never had this taught to us. We've never been anywhere where we were treated like this, except Father. Do you understand? And when I'm talking to you, I don't even know if you even, some of you, by the looks in your face, I don't even know if you believe me. I think y'all are just, some of you, I feel like I could knock over with a feather. I think you're dumbfounded. Is this real? I mean, is this, this, does he, what does he mean? What's, there must be a trick.
Show up tomorrow.
Yeah, show up tomorrow. I bet he'll pass a plate. He'll do something. You know what? I'm really glad you asked that, but I can't answer that right this second. But I can just tell you that five times in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And he didn't have a stuttering problem. He said it to confirm and to make sure that I got it. And all I know is as soon as I met him, July 1st, 1976, I was a drug dealer, and that as soon as I met him and I went home, immediately this voice started talking to me. Harvey, yes? Harvey, yes? Harvey, yes? Where are you? And I start running around, looking behind everything. Where are you? Now, do you know what I knew about the Holy Spirit before that? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That's all I knew. Nobody told me that he lived inside of you. Nobody told me that he talked to you. But I finally figured out he was coming. He was inside of me, this voice. And I'm like, and I never heard this voice before. I wasn't born again before. He didn't live in me before. Changed me. That doesn't mean, because you're questioning, that doesn't mean that you're not born again. But we could talk about it. I'm just telling you what happened in my life, okay? We'll talk about it. Because that's what we talk to everybody about here. Because everybody, when they come here, goes, "You always talk about how God talks to you. How do I hear his voice?" But now, if you ask the ones that have been around here, ask them, "Does he talk to you? Does he talk to you, Roxanne? Does he talk to you, Glenn? Does he talk to you, Cecil? Does he talk to you, Sue?" Ask anybody who comes here. Okay? Anyway, but we'll go there, okay? But one thing at a time. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets, the entire scriptures depend on relationships. The first relationship is with him. First love. And as we get to know the real him, we're going to find out, because he's others-minded. And my focus is his presence. My whole life, okay, pay attention. Adam, pay attention, because there's a test, okay? My whole life has been boiled down to four words. My focus, his presence. My focus, his presence. Matter of fact, that's what you need to have as your church focus. As a matter of fact, that's what you need to have as your church service focus. When I say you can have church without people, but you can't have church without God, you see, when God tells you to start a church, you may not have anybody. That's how it's been every time with us. We had nobody all seven times, besides the ones we helped other people start. Nobody. God says, start a church. We started having church before anybody showed up. I was in a lady's house not long ago, and I start talking about Jesus, and she says to me, I said, I feel like we just had church. She says, I bet you have church everywhere you go. I said, I do. I have church whether anybody else shows up or not. Because I live in his presence. Do you remember Philippians 1:21? For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. See, my focus is his presence. Do you know what his focus is? My presence. Do you know what God's focus is? Your presence. Do you know what blesses him? Your presence. Do you know you were made in the image of God? Oh, I just hope you get all this. Do you know you were made in the image of God?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Or is there some of you that came from monkeys? I just need to know. Were you made in God's image, or is there an evolution monkey in your background? Okay. You ready? Okay. So you're made in the image of God. Now, one of God's names is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or our need meter. Are you ready? Okay. So God is a need meter. Okay. Are you listening? Because this will help you. Of course, I'm hoping everything I'm saying is going to help you. I know it's been a long day. Hang on. God is a need meter. Have you ever helped somebody where you didn't get paid for it, nobody asked you, but you just stepped out of your so a little old lady trying to lift the groceries to put them in her car, and you stop and you got to help this little, you don't know her, you never see her again in your life. But when you stopped and helped her, you helped that little mother who had 14 kids running around, and every one of them's name was Adam. You like, whoa! And you stop to help them. How do you feel after you help this person? What I'm saying is, Adam, hang on. This is part of the test now. What you wouldn't take $500 for what you feel because you couldn't buy that hide. You understand? You are designed to be a need meter.
Yes.
Now get this. That was all just porch to get you where I'm taking you. You ready? This is a secret. When you turn your focus on the Father, Father God, the creator of all the universes, He stops everything He's doing and He focuses in on you. You know why? Because He designed you to be a need meter and you meet a need in His heart that no one else can. Remember when she talked about that multifaceted diamond and your reflection of God? You see, my wife, she's the whisper of God. Me, I'm the shout of God. She prays for you, you melt in this puddle of peace. I pray for you, you want to go kick the devil in the pants. Just take on all the demons. Let's go and get up for Jesus. We're both made in His image. When my wife turns our focus on the Father, His needs are met. Is that in the Bible? God has needs? I'm so glad you asked. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says that Joshua ministered to Moses, but Moses ministered to God. Let's say it the way you and I would say it. Joshua met the needs of Moses. And in turn, Moses met the needs of God. I didn't make it up. I just read it. He gave that to me 20-something years ago. What He's wanting us to do. See, my focus is His presence. This is where I live. I don't ever want to live anywhere else. Nothing meets my need. Nothing satisfies. Nothing compares to this. So I want to live in His presence. Now the Father says, oh, you see that guy over there? And I go, yeah. He says, well, I'm a spirit and I want to give him a hug. Would you let me hug him? Brother Bill is walking down the street a year and a half ago, carrying a cross. I don't know him. Minister Mike's with him. He's carrying the American flag. Holy Spirit says, I'm driving by them, waving, honking my horn. Holy Spirit says, turn around and go back. I go back. I didn't know what He wanted me to do. Give him some money, buy him something to eat, pray for him. I mean, He has me do that stuff all the time. I don't care, whatever. What do you want to do, Father? I just want to be into whatever you're up to, you know? So I pull over, and he says, go talk to him. I said, okay, what am I going to say? See, I don't even have to ask him anymore. I, if you just do what he tells you, he'll let you know. It's on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know yet. It's called a walk by faith. You move on what he tells you, and he'll tell you what's next. You don't got to know yet. So he said, go talk to him. So I walk over there. He puts the cross down. He's looking at me kind of like this, you know, just kind of looking at me like, okay, what are you going to say or do? You know, because he's thinking, I'm the man of God. I'm going to pray for you. You probably stopped because I'm carrying a cross and you need prayer, you know, or something. Who knows? I don't know what he's thinking, you know.
I was actually thankful somebody stopped so I put the cross down.
Minister Mike is standing right beside him.
Who was just carrying a little wimpy flag.
I'm just a flag-waving American, a citizen I truly want to be. Oh, I'm just a flag-waving American. Okay, anyway. Okay. Wimpy little flag! Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, now, here we go. Father says, go over to Mike, put your arms around him, and say, these are the arms of the Father. I had no idea he didn't have a father. I had no idea he had deep needs, and I had no idea God wanted to heal him, so much so that the guy just called me again this week telling me how much he loves me, just calls me all the time, and it's not me. God flowed through me. Because I was hanging out here. And he said, I just want to hug him. But he didn't even tell me that. He just said, would you go talk to him? Sure. But I'm just hanging out with him. I don't have time. Look, I've got, I think, 7 or 8 pages here. And I haven't even got past point one on the first page. I can't go on with the rest of this. Three prayers, and we're done. Are you ready? Write them down, please. For your sake, not mine. These three prayers will radically change your life. You ready? Father, please reveal to me who you really are and what you're really like. We had them all printed up. We can't keep them around here, man. Everybody gives them away. I mean, how many did we print up for you, Bill? Hundreds of them. Everywhere they went, we can't keep these cards around here. Father, please, blah, 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 blah. Father, please reveal to me who you really are and what you're really like. Not what others say you are. Not who I think you are through smorgasbord of different religious beliefs presented to me. You don't got to write all this down. But if you're real, and I know you are, please come reveal yourself to me in any way you want. It doesn't have to fit in to my comfort zone. Father, please come reveal who you really are to me. Number two, Father, I got them from God. I didn't get them out of a book or something. I don't do that. You ready? Father, please reveal to me how you personally see me. How you feel and think toward me. Your dreams, your plans, your hopes, your desires, your plans for my life. Father, please reveal to me how you personally see, think, and feel toward me. Third question, third prayer. Ready? Now, the first two are what I call icing prayers. You start praying these prayers, you are going to just get absolutely ruined. I'm just telling you, God is just going to so overwhelm you with love and acceptance. I'm just telling you, it's beyond anything. I went into a lady's house, 60 years old, sits there, watches Christian TV all day, varicose veins, you know. I went in her house to fix a tub, and I said, ma'am, this thing is ugly. It's puke green. It's avocado green. I said, I could fix this, but I can't match 40-year-old fade. I said, how about if I came back and reglazed the whole thing and changed the color? Oh, could you do that? Yes, I can. I said, anybody else that has one like this would ask me to do that. You know, she goes, yeah, that's what I want you to do. I said, well, I don't have time today. I said, but I'll come back next week. So we set it up. So I get ready to leave, and I notice she's watching Christian TV or something. Anyway, God says to me, share with her the three prayers. So I start sharing them with her, and she says, I think I need to write these down. I said, I think you do. So she starts writing these prayers down. I said, I want you to pray these prayers before I come back. I came back a week later. Now, here's the lady. All she does is sit around all day watching Christian TV. And, I mean, that's about it. You understand? I come back a week later. She said, Harvey, I said, did you pray those prayers? She said, Harvey, I've prayed them twice a day for the last week since you were here. She says, my life has so radically changed, I can't even put it in words. She said, I had no idea God loved me like that. I had no idea that God believed in me. See, God believes in you. One of the reasons you like Brother Bill is because God believes in you through Brother Bill. Do you hear what I'm saying? The third prayer, I call it a seatbelt prayer. You need to put your seatbelt on, okay? Now, you're going to want to pray this prayer, but it's the first two are just all syrupy and lovey-dovey, and I'm just telling you, you're going to just get overwhelmed with His love. But the third prayer, put a seatbelt on because you're in for a ride. You ready? Here's the key words. Whatever it takes, comma, bring me into oneness with you. John 17. The whole John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. The one we call the Lord's Prayer is actually called the Model Prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. That's how the word reads. That's a model prayer. John 17 is actually our Lord's Prayer. Father, make them one, as we are one. So, the third prayer, whatever it takes, bring me into oneness with you. Pray those three prayers. I'm just telling you, it will change your life. Let me just share something with you here. I don't know if this needs to be on there or what. I don't know what God wants to do, because we don't have any design or agenda on you. I asked Brother Bill he said there's somebody he knows that we could end up doing conference calls and getting them for free and whatever, and I don't know if that's something that you're interested in. I don't know if that's something God wants us to do. We just got it in prayer. He just mentioned it, and I said, well, see if you could do that, and let's see how God wants to do this. When you leave here, if whatever you decide to do, you go ahead and do it. God bless you. There's no, you know, there's no strings. There's no anything, okay? If we can help you, if we can encourage you, if we can pray with you, if there's, you know, if that's what God is putting us together, great. If God's not, and you just got one little thing that would help you, great. Praise the Lord. I don't know what God is wanting to do. I'm not trying to get more people to help. I'm really not. Well, I already feel like my plate is full and overflowing. But I want to be open to whatever God is doing. And I know that's what my wife wants, because that's our life. It's about helping you get closer to Jesus. Because the more you do, the more you're going to give Him away. The more you're going to reveal Him to others. The more you are going to learn how to release Him. What we gave you tonight, today...